This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. President Bush's political connections are well known. His father was president and his grandfather a senator. But there's also a business legacy that stretches back four generations and has made the Bush family part of the American establishment since World War I. Morning Edition commentator Kevin Phillips writes about the Bush family in his new book, American Dynasty. Phillips notes, for instance, that President Bush was elected with help from some of the same advisors and supporters that his father used.
Those are not separate presidencies. I think you have to conceive of these people as a family that has been moving towards this objective for a long time. George W.'s grandfather, Prescott Bush, was acknowledged by his wife to have started thinking he could have been president even in the late 50s and early 1960s. By the time George W. was at Andover in the early 60s, he was talking about how his father wanted to be president. So we are looking at a family that has had it in mind that they're going to climb this ladder. And that makes it, I think, a lot more significant.
And when we're talking establishment, we're talking about certain institutions that are very much a part of that.
We're talking about institutions and connections. First of all, there were two very important great-grandfathers for George W. One was George H. Walker, who made the money, but the other one who produced the Bush name was Sam Bush, who was a major industrialist in Ohio. He was a business partner of Frank Rockefeller, who was John D. Rockefeller's younger brother, and was involved in the iron industry in the Great Lakes.
Andover and Yale are, of course, very important.
Yes, and Skull and Bones. Back in the 1920s and 30s, this was an enormously important institution because a number of the major government departments and major banks and law firms were very heavily impacted by the role of people who had been in Skull and Bones. And Prescott Bush was part of that, and his son, George H.W. Bush, was part of it. And I think George W. was part of it in a much more peripheral way. He liked the fraternity stuff, but I don't think he really cottoned to the old establishment that much.
Well, with the current president, though, at least one thing has evolved. You had the Episcopalian base of the family up until the current president.
The Bushes have moved. They've gone from being Connecticut Episcopalians with their roots in ivied churches and in old colonial residential districts to this extraordinary Bush transformation into not just a Texan, but a fundamentalist Texan, somebody whose first role in politics back in the mid-80s was when he was his father's liaison to the religious right. And by the time he got to Texas, his whole alliance was with the religious right.
One thing that's been consistent over the generations has been oil.
Oil goes back all the way. George H. Walker, the financier who really started the dynasty rolling, was involved in the oil redevelopment of the Caucasus in the Soviet Union after World War I. Prescott Bush, George W.'s grandfather, was a director of Dresser Industries. And he was very much active in the oil industry in the 30s and 40s in the United States. Then George H.W. got his first job with Dresser, and that's what they do. They do oil and they do money. Even more of them have been involved in the investment business, in securities firms, and in banks.
We are a democracy, but we're run by politicians, and politicians take care of their friends.
Well, politicians always take care of their friends. The difficulty here is if you've got a family that's been in very high levels of power for four generations or so, they've got a lot more friends to take care of. And it becomes part of a political process. So you've got people whose roots and whose structure and whose friends and whose ties really go back a long way. And this is why they can raise so much money. They have influence behind the scenes that's been very important. And they have this whole structural connection in the foreign affairs, intelligence, and defense field. And this is what makes them very difficult to follow and monitor for people who don't know it all.
You have a large section of the book on Halliburton and Enron.
Well, they deserve to be taken together because Enron was the Bush connection over two generations. Ken Lay in Texas, in Houston, was close to George H.W. Bush when he was president and even when he was vice president in charge of the energy deregulation approaches in the Reagan administration. Then when George H.W. left office and his son got elected governor of Texas, Ken Lay became very, very close there. And by the time Enron faced the new Republican presidency in Washington, they were like an octopus. They were entwined with three or four departments in ways that you could hardly pry the tentacles out. It was the Commerce Department, the Energy Department, the Department of the Army, where they wanted to privatize services. And, of course, Halliburton was Cheney's fiefdom. But, ironically, Halliburton absorbed Dresser Industries, which had been the place where Prescott Bush and George H.W. Bush really did their oil deals in the 1930s and 40s and early 50s. So this is a terrain they're extremely knowledgeable about. They have all these ties. And frankly, we don't get to hear much of what's really going on because to inform the public in these matters is not the principle of the government.
And you've been actively involved in research about Europe and the rest of the world and money and dynasties. And this troubles you as a Democrat, and I mean a lowercase d Democrat.
Well, it troubles me as an ex-Republican with a capital R, now an independent, and a Republican with a small r, because I think this is eroding both the Democratic principle, small d, and the Republican principle, small r. And I've watched the Bushes, and they always represented a power that didn't necessarily show itself in the Democratic marketplace of elections. Their power was backstage. George H.W. was unable to win his two Texas Senate races. Normally, that would have finished off a politician. Didn't finish him off because his power source was in this nebulous structure. And it's a power structure that is like an iceberg. It's maybe one-tenth of it's above the surface, and the rest of it we don't know about, and it's sort of a little bit running the government like an intelligence agency.
Commentator Kevin Phillips. His new book is titled American Dynasty, Aristocracy, Fortune, and the Politics of Deceit in the House of Bush. An extended interview with Kevin Phillips is at npr.org.